This is the second Sunday of the Passion called Palm Sunday. And as we always do before major feasts and ceremonies, we will speak before the ceremony begins so that everyone is as informed and ready as we can possibly be for these sacred ceremonies. Of course, for Holy Week, it is even more important. So, what is it we want to know? What is it we're going to talk about as we prepare now? This Mass and this ceremony is the encapsulating of the entire week that we're about to begin. It begins with, and we're going to be talking about, the sacramental of palms. We're going to be talking about our Lord's triumphal entry into Jerusalem, his holy city, the enemy, that is the devil, and what it all will mean for us during this week and in the future. So the first thing we want to talk about is the sacramental. And of course, as we always know, because we'll talk a little bit about the history of this day, but sacramentals are essential to our life. We were talking about this just last night, about the law of incarnation, the principle that motivates all this, that the infinite, invisible God is made present in our world through the incarnation, and so that we, through coming in contact with our Lord, reach the infinite. And God has left his mark in the world with seven sacraments, seven ways of coming to him and to heaven. And from those we have sacramentals. These are outward signs instituted by Christ through the church that give grace based on several factors. The only one we want you to be concentrating on right now is that when you receive the sacramental of the palm, you have, with God's help through the church's blessing, you have the ability to gain an increase in grace. It's based on your own devotion. That's why we have to tell you ahead of time. It's based on your devotion to receive an increase in grace, to receive the remission of temporal punishment for sin. You can save yourself from purgatory, receiving the palms with that type of devotion. They can even give you healing of illness. The overflow of the effect in the soul into the body. And they are a great weapon against the devil. We want to read the prayer that is said just after. Well, let's do a quick review of the ceremony. So, of course, as we're imitating what happened on this day, and we'll tell the history in a second, but as we do the ceremony, first we're doing the blessing of the palms. We receive them. That's why we're stressing how you receive them, how you use them during this liturgical function before the Mass. And then we process with, in the person of the priest, who is another Christ, we process with our Lord on the way to Jerusalem as he comes back into the holy city, the sanctuary. And we celebrate that with the chanting of the gospel. And then the whole tone for today changes with the Mass as we see the vestments change. We are here now in the great red vestments, showing the great love of the Sacred Heart of Jesus, his triumph today, and it will all be turned to the sadness as we have the Passion at the Mass and the tone for the rest of the week until we reach Easter. But today is this opening ceremony is a little bit of a anticipation of what is going to happen in Easter. So that's just a quick overview, which we're all familiar with. But here is, at that pivotal point in the ceremony, just after the procession, we have been equipped with this special sacramental, and now we're about to begin the Mass. All the things I just said are about to happen. And here is what Holy Mother of the Church prays for. Lord Jesus Christ, our King and Redeemer, bearing these palms, we have sung your solemn praises. Grant in your mercy that wherever these palms are brought, there the grace of your blessing may be poured out. Every wickedness and deceit of the evil one may be set at naught, and the protection of your right hand rest on those whom you have redeemed. So that is why people take the palms, make crosses or decorations with them, and keep them, even if they dry up throughout the course of the year. They are still sacramentals doing exactly what the prayer is asking to happen. The Catechism explains more in detail what the blessing of the palm is, but we are emphasizing this. Protection against the evil spirit. Now, we're saying that because right now we're all protected. We're in God's house. But as soon as we walk outside, all the forces of the world and the devil are going to start working on you. And how are they going to work? Well, individually, you know, we're tempted. But how in the general? And this is what we want to inveigh against on this aspect of the devil. Because that is one of the great powers of the liturgy, to oppose him and defeat him. And what he tries to do is he tries to separate you from all those things that will save you and take you to heaven. So he tries to separate you from the liturgy. He tries to separate you from the ministers of the liturgy. That is the priests. So he tries to harbor ill will towards the priests, all of the things that we hear in the media. You think of one of the founding fathers who, in his mind, the best cleric was a dead one. Is that the thought of God, you think? Or the thought of someone else? And what's he going to do in general? He's going to try and keep you away from the sacred mysteries of this week. Do not let him do that. Now, of course, we have to understand, we have to survive, we have to be able to eat, we need money in our work for that. But to whatever degree you can, make every effort to come to the Sacred Triduum, to come to Holy Thursday, to come to Good Friday, to come if you can. It's physically a tremendous effort to go to the Easter Vigil, but at least, of course, to Easter Sunday Mass. So that is one of the major things we want to make sure everyone walks away with it. If this ceremony is encapsulating the whole week, we should be invigorated, strengthened to be able to do that, to fight off those influences and make sure we're here. The Sacred Heart of Jesus is pouring out all of these graces and blessings on us. Who would be the one trying to stop that from happening? Clearly. Don't fall for any tricks. Okay. So that's about the palms. How we should come with all devotion we can. We want to, as we always do, and we've marked this here in the Missal too. We always talk about the liturgy, you know that, because that is the ordinary means of salvation. We all know that. But of course, the most perfect expression of it all is right now. This is it. This is what Catholics live and die for. And now this is actually from yesterday's Mass. May your people, Lord, we implore you, make progress in the fervor of a loving faithfulness, so that, instructed by your sacred mysteries, the more they may abound in your gifts and be made more pleasing to your majesty. Instructed by your sacred mysteries. That must already be resonating in you. In other translations, they actually say, in your sacred liturgy. That's what this is all about. That's what the heart of our Lord wants to give. That's what the heart of every Catholic and every priest wants to have. Okay, so that's the importance of this. In the person of the priest, through the character of the sacrament of holy orders, he is in the person of Christ presenting and doing everything, and Christ is doing it. And the perfect example of that is the Holy Eucharist. The priest never says, this is the body of the name of the priest. He always says, this is my body, and everyone adores the host and knows it's Christ's body, not the priest. Even though the priest said, my body. How is that happening? Through the character of ordination. Christ himself is speaking through the priest. The priest is just his mouthpiece, his human instrument. We all know that. But during this week, it becomes paramount. And so, as we said, this week begins with this great flourish as we talk about and we see Christ the King. St. Angelo's Missal gives us great directions and instructions about these things, about some of the great processions coming into Jerusalem, the holy city, talking about David, the Ark of the Covenant, and things like this. We want to concentrate on, because you see, this was our Lord's triumphal entry into the city, but it was not his first. It was not his first great procession. We all know what that was. It didn't have the thousands of people as today. And that's what it was, thousands. It had just a handful of people. He was 40 days old, carried by the Blessed Virgin Mary and St. Joseph for his presentation in the temple. That was his first one. And then there was that procession, the light of revelation to the Gentiles. We all celebrated that. That's how he first came. What was his thoughts today? Thinking back to that. And differently from all of the other parts of our Lord's public life, where he was always maintaining the secret of the Messiah, as we call it. He would do these cures and things, and he would tell the person, show yourself to the priest, but do not tell anyone. Contrary to that way of acting, he would, after the great miracles of the multiplication of the loaves and fishes, the people wanted to come and proclaim him king. And he, so that even the apostles would not be swayed by this, he sent them away ahead of time. And our Lord dismissed the crowd and went up to pray on the mountain. But not today. Not today. Today, he, as all of the things he did, with his divine mind knowing all things, today he had all the details planned, and today he tells his apostles, you go here to this little village and you'll find the mother and the child, the ass and the colt, and you will bring them to me. The owner will let you have them. and you will bring them to me, and I will ride them, the one, the colt, the unbroken one. Cannot go through all these details. Every single one of these details is by God's command. And just as a little footnote, we'll mention this one, just because today is also the feast of St. Justin, martyr. He gives us a tiny little detail that the colt was tied to a vine branch. So our Lord is in complete control, and he is promoting what is going to happen. He tells them what to do. And they go, they find it, bring it, he gets onto it and rides in. And this was a, by the way, when they would ride in like as this, as our Lord did, this was a sign of victory. They used to have these victory marches. So this is what our Lord was doing. He was coming into his city, laying claim to it as the king. And this whole emphasis on the kingship of Christ today was so great and so well known from antiquity to the present that when the feast of Christ the King was being proposed under Pius XI in the last century, he of course sought the advice and comments of the people, and particularly the bishops. And some of the things that were coming back to him were, we don't need a feast of Christ the King. We already have it on Palm Sunday. That's how everyone understood the greatness of this moment. Now, of course, the Pope wisely said, you are correct, but it's tinged with sorrow. Just as Holy Thursday is the great institution of the Holy Eucharist, that one was by Christ himself, by miraculous revelation. That's tinged with sorrow also. So a special feast of Corpus Christi. But that is, the kingship of Christ is this great thing. And you can see what happens, of course. This was so paramount to those people at the time. Why did they kill him? Because he was king. That's what it says. Jesus of Nazareth, King of the Jews. That is the death sentence on the cross. And that has come down the ages, and all those who stand with the king, and the palms are the sign of victory. We have to move to the ceremony. All of the things that could be added, of course, that will be up to your devotion, because the treasures are here. They're just waiting for you to ask for them. They're all here. And the triumph of the cross, the triumph of our King, is ours today. We see a brief moment that we can glory in that. Because, you know, we are with our Lord. We, through devotedness to the sacred liturgy, will get to heaven. We just have to be faithful. Do not let the devil get in the way. So we haven't had the time to talk about these other things, but I'll just quickly say that yesterday was the day that St. Mary Magdalene broke her alabaster jar of oil, spikenard, and anointed our Lord, as he told everybody, for his burial, with an amount that was worth a man's salary for a year. And people had come to see our Lord, of course. He was coming towards Jerusalem he stayed at Bethany, which is where Lazarus and his sisters lived. But they had come to see him as he came down for the High Holy Days, But they also came to see Lazarus, and the Pharisees said, "We must kill him also. He must die because he's living proof of the power of this man, God." And St. Augustine says yesterday, that's ludicrous that they think that they're going to slay this man who had already died, Lazarus. They think by slaying him, that's some different way of dying, that God cannot raise someone from being slain. And in St. Augustine, he's so brilliant, he says, well, God doesn't let that go either way, either, because he proved he can raise someone from the dead as he did with Lazarus, and then he proved he can raise someone from the dead who has been slain, because Christ raised himself. And then there's a whole story about the meeting of these crowds and the palms and decorating the path for our Lord to come to the city, and how our Lord comes into the city so differently than the way he came in as the baby. And he comes in and he says, he looks, and they all come with him to the temple. He comes in and he comes into the temple, his house, and it says he looks all around just to see if it's in order. And then he departs back to Bethany for that night, and then the rest of the week. And tomorrow he comes out in the fig tree, and then Tuesday is his great final battle day with the Pharisees. And when he finishes that, at the end of that day, in confrontation with them, it says they asked him no more questions. He had silenced them. Wednesday, the betrayal by Judas. Thursday, and we know from there. We hope everyone's been following all the events in your Missal for Lent. As much of our Lord's life is recorded in the Gospels, all the Gospel writers concentrate. They're giving us almost a minute-by-minute description of what's happening this week. So make sure you're part of that, reading the Passion under each of the accounts is one. We're going to do that today. So during these days ahead, we want to not only walk with our Lord in glory, not just on Palm Sunday. We don't want to be just that crowd of people, but not show up when he's on the cross, when he's suffering and dying for us. Not to be in that crowd. In that crowd, only the Blessed Mother is there, St. Veronica. Only a few, their voices are drowned out. There's no Hosanna. Now it's take him and crucify him. But we walk with Christ on the way of the cross, and we get strength to walk and carry our crosses. May God bless you.